Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Daniel chapter 1, we were talking about the difference between the man that takes a stand for God and has no fear of what other men can do to him, and the man that does not take a stand and lives in fear. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Daniel may not be popular with the majority, but God gives him what he needs. He needs favor with those who are in authority. And although the majority went the other direction, God gives Daniel and his three friends favor with the one with whom they needed favor. Notice the prince of the eunuch. He fears the king, and he fears for his own head. And a man without Christ, his actions are logical. But Daniel loves the Lord. He has a higher purpose. Therefore, Daniel has a stronger character. In Acts chapter 21, in verse 13, we read about the Apostle Paul. There he says, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, my friend, he was willing to die. That's a high purpose. That is strong character. He was willing to live or to die for Christ. You see, you couldn't threaten Paul with heaven. To kill him would send him immediately to be with the Lord, which is far better. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, we read, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Now that's high purpose. That's strong character. Christ being magnified in my life, whether it's by life or by death. And he goes on to say, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Well, my friend, that's the right attitude. That's a vow that we should have, to purpose in our heart to not defile ourselves, especially with that of the world. However, I must also point out, it is often easier to make a vow than it is to keep it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4 must be kept in mind. There, the Bible tells us, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." Now, fool is a very strong word. And God here calls a person a fool that makes a vow to God and then does not keep it. Now, it's unfortunate that we see that many times in our churches today. You'll have a revival meeting, and someone will go forward at that revival meeting or in that church service and tells the Lord, "I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to turn from this sin. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop that." Man, they're excited. They're at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service. They're there for about 2 months, maybe three. And then one of the services fall off. Before too long, another service falls off. And in time, they're hit and miss in their attendance. They're not doing that thing they told God they would do. Well, it was better to not vow than to vow and not keep it. My friend, you've gone to the altar and you've made some decisions. Are you still standing by those decisions? You see, when we make a decision in our heart and we purpose in our heart, we usually stick with it. When we make a decision or a purpose in the emotion, usually the decision passes with the emotion. The problem is not usually with your preacher or your church or your evangelist. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Now, the prince of the eunuchs fears that Daniel will look physically worse than the others. You see, the prince of the eunuch believes in his religion. He believes that his religion gives the best diet. To many, Daniel and his friends are giving an undue amount of emphasis to a matter of little importance, especially if it could cost them their lives. But these young men discerned the problem at hand, and they chose the principle. And that principle is, the Word of God is to be obeyed above all else. Aren't we reminded when Peter and John were warned by the Sanhedrin to no longer preach in the name of Jesus? And what was their answer? Whether you think that we should obey God rather than man, you better decide. But as for us, we've already decided we're going to obey God. And they did, and they continued to preach the Word of God. And they suffered for doing that. Now, this book of Daniel, it's going to give us much on prophecy, especially on the tribulation. But isn't it good that dwellers in the tribulation have a pattern set before them that no part of God's Word is compromisable, and all of it is such that undue emphasis cannot be given to its commands and teachings. Daniel showed that commitment to the Word of God, and that commitment, that Word of God, is worth dying for. And I trust and hope the people of the tribulation will capture that understanding. Now, my friend, you're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die. And you're not prepared to die until you're prepared to meet God. And you're not prepared to meet God until you meet and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, here is Daniel. He stands. No matter what, he has decided, I'm going to stand for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you also notice something else in this passage. Daniel was willing to die over the issue of not drinking alcoholic beverage. Now, notice, the diet for these young men is not to get drunk, but they would drink a little bit of wine with their meal, but not enough to get drunk. And yet, we'll notice that not only did Daniel say, give us pulse to eat, when we get to verse 12, but he'll also say, give us water to drink. They wouldn't take the king's wine. Isn't it interesting that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have unleavened bread, and some churches will serve alcoholic wine instead of the pure blood of the grape or the pure juice. Now, grape juice in the Bible, whether it's wine fermented or just pure grape juice, is usually translated in English into the word wine. And in the Old Testament, you'd have to understand the Hebrew word to make distinctions. But they knew that you don't drink wine. They knew that anything intoxicating, you did not drink. Well, in the Lord's Supper, the bread is unleavened because it represents Jesus Christ, and leaven represents sin. Well, in like matter, the wine, the grape juice that is, represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is without sin, then wine, whose alcohol is a product of decay, fermenting, then we also would not want that to represent the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you use grape juice in the observance of the Lord's Supper as symbolic of the blood shed of Jesus, because his blood was a pure blood without sin. But now think about that. Today people think somebody preaches against alcohol. They get mad. Why are they knocking the drinking crowd, the beer crowd, even the social drinking crowd? Why do they say that? Man, that's old-fashioned. That's way back there. That's not deep. Well, if you think that preaching against alcohol or carnality or immodesty is shallow, then, my friend, you lack in an area of discernment. And now, let me shock you. Because to us, you may be mentally a very in-depth person, but God really calls you shallow. You're shallow, and he wants you to come up mentally and be where you ought to be, even as a human in this flesh. Standards are not all we preach, but I want you to know they are important. And my friend, I want to go on record before God and man today that we do not social drink. That alcohol, even social drinking alcohol, is a sin. Is cheating on your wife a sin? Of course it is. So is alcohol. Is stealing sin? Of course it is. So is alcohol. You see, we can say carnality, oh yeah, carnality is sin. Well, the problem is we don't really explain what we mean by carnality. Well, let me say this. Carnality is things that your flesh desires that God doesn't want you to have. And one of those things is alcohol. Isn't it interesting that today's society thinks more against cigarettes than they do alcohol? Now listen, I think cigarette smoking defiles the temple of God, and that's sin. But I would much rather somebody that just smoked six packs of cigarettes be driving the car on the other side of the road from me, coming from the opposite direction, than I would a guy that's just drank a six-pack of beer. And to be quite honest with you, I can remember taking driver education classes in which we were told that even one drink of alcohol destroys millions of brain cells. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.